Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.
We gather to worship God on this fourth Sunday of Advent, claiming the promise of Romans 5, that God shows his love for us, because while we were sinners, Christ died for us.
When the people were looking for deliverance, the prophet Micah declared, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient day."
But what if Micah is also talking to proclamation? "But you, O Presbyterians in Fond du Lac of Wisconsin, from you shall come forth me." What might God be calling forth from us?
"As Christ was born in Bethlehem, so too we in answer as invitation to have Christ born among us today and every day."
We light this candle of love as a sign of our commitment to live as people of God's promise, a promise of salvation and flourishing for all people that springs forth from God's love for all creation.
Micah prophesied during a very tumultuous time in which there was much corruption, and even the capture of Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, by the Assyrians. In its 8th century context, Micah's oracle offers a particular word to a specific community. Yet, as it was interpreted by the gospel writers, it takes on a new life in God's ongoing activity of remaining faithful to covenant promises by subverting expectations. Listen to the prophet's words, expecting to encounter God's presence in surprising ways. Reading from the 5th chapter of the prophet Micah. "As for you, Bethlehem in Ephrathah, though you are the least significant of Judah's forces, one who is to be a ruler of Israel on my behalf will come out from you. His origin is from remote times, from ancient days. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor gives birth. The rest of his kin will return to the people of Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majority of the name of the Lord his God. They will dwell secure because he will surely become great throughout the earth. He will become one of peace. When Assyria invades our land and treads down our fortresses, then he will rise up against him 7 shepherds and 8 human princes."
Our gospel reading for today, this fourth Sunday of Advent, comes from Luke's gospel, 1st chapter, the encounter of Mary and Elizabeth. "Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she blurted out, 'God has blessed you above all women and has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me?' As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her." Mary said, "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, From now on, everyone will consider me highly favored, because the Mighty One has done for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone, from one generation to the next, who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Well, today, did you see how many candles we lit today? We lit four. So we had their first one. That was the candle of, do you remember what it said? Hope, right? Then we had the second one. Do you remember what that one was? Nope, not joy. Peace, right? Then we need the pink one. Can you get the pink one out? The pink one was the candle of joy. Let's put that in. And now we have our last candle before Christmas. It means our last Sunday before Christmas. And you know what this one is? What's this one? Love. Very good. So you know what that means? Christmas is coming soon, right? Christmas is coming soon. Well, I'm gonna put our Advent wreath right down here for a second. So did you hear that story today? Today we learned about Mary. Who was Mary? Do you remember who Mary was? Who is Mary? She is a girl. This we know. Yep. She's a girl, and she is Jesus' mom. So an angel came to talk to Mary and said, what to her? You're going to have this baby. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'd be a little bit afraid if an angel came to me. What do you think? I wouldn't know what that was. I'd be a little bit afraid. And you know, Mary could have said, well, you know, I'm kind of busy right now. I'm planning a wedding. I've got some stuff to do. What would the people say if they found out I was having a baby? And she might have been really worried about all those things. But she made another choice. She was pretty excited, and she went to go see her cousin, who was really much older, who was also going to have a baby. And you know, her baby, you know what her baby's name was going to be? John. Yeah, Jesus' cousin, John. So I brought something with me today to help me think about this. A magnifying glass. You never know what's going to come out of my basket, do you? Yeah. So what does a magnifying glass do? It helps you get a closer look. Helps things get more in focus. Sometimes it helps things get bigger so you can see them better. Right? So I have some magnifying glasses in here for you. So you want to pick one out? So you have your magnifying glass, and I want you to look at your finger and see, can you make the lines in your finger get a little bit bigger so you can see them better? Yep. Sometimes when we hear about Mary and when she talks about with Elizabeth, and when she talks with people about this time when she's talking about having this baby, we say that she magnified the Lord. What does that mean? Well, that's why I got my magnifying glass out. She could have been thinking about all the things that she had to do and about all the worries she had and about all those other things, but she decided to focus on God and God's love and what God had in planned for her. She focused on God, and she helped us to focus on God too, because of what she said and what she did, we were able to think and really know about God more. So you have lots of stuff that happens every day, right? To you, Some of those things are good things. Some of those things are kind of sad things. Some of those things are kind of hard things. And sometimes you have choices, and sometimes you really don't have any choices. But even when you don't have a choice, you have a choice of how you can be when those things happen. You have a choice on what you can focus on. Are you going to focus on the things that are scary and sad? Or can you focus on the things that praise God and help people know God better? So I want you to take your magnifying glass this week. Think about what Mary did and what Mary said. How she focused on God and she magnified God for us and for herself. And I want you to think about those times when you're struggling and maybe have hard days. What can you focus on? What can you do to magnify God in our lives? So let's take a little time, because that's a hard thing to do. And let's say a prayer right now to God to help us to magnify God. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for all the gifts that you give to us each and every day. We thank you for the people that you put in our lives that help us learn more about you and more about your love. And today we just ask that you would help us to magnify you. Mary chose to magnify you in this world, and we know that we have so many things that happen to us each and every day. Some are happy and some are sad. And sometimes we may be lonely or scared. We ask that you would help us to make those choices to magnify you in all that we do. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be pleasing, acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 43, we hear the words of Elizabeth. As Mary comes into Elizabeth and Zechariah's home, "Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now that's translation out of the Common English Bible. What do other translations say? It's good to compare different translations. New International Version says, "Why am I so favored?" The English Standard Version says, "And why is this granted to me?" Living Bible says, "What an honor this is." Good News Translation says, "Why should this great thing happen to me?" The NRSV, Bibles here in the pews, translated as, "Why has this happened to me? Why has this happened to me?" Now, you and I, we've probably all said that at least once in our life, haven't we? Why has this happened to me? It could be a response either to some negative situation or perceived negative situation or a positive situation as well. Why? Why has this happened? Why did my teacher schedule an exam right after Christmas break? Really? Why has this happened to me? Can't enjoy break. Why? Why did my child bring home the request for treats right after I have been to the store and got everything? Now I have to go back. Why is this happening? I've got enough things going in my life. Why did the furnace and the transmission both break down at the same exact time? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? We can get frustrated or that positive side of things. Why? Why did I get to bring home that prized white elephant gift from the company picnic? Why did I get a bonus from my employer? Why do I still have a job when many of my coworkers are laid off because our company's downsizing? Why did this happen to me? Why? Many positive ways of looking at it as well. So what did Elizabeth mean when she said, "Why has this happened to me?" It wasn't in a negative tone of voice. She wasn't shaking her head in frustration. Oh, really, why is my cousin Mary here? Really, right now? I'm 6 months pregnant. I've got enough going. I don't need to be taking care of my little cousin as well. I'm an older lady right now. I've got enough trouble. Why is this happening to me? No, that's not the tone. She said it in amazement, honor. Why am I so favored? Why do I have this honor? You have to remember that Mary hasn't told Elizabeth that she's pregnant. She finds out that she's pregnant and she takes off. She hurries to go to her cousin. She's been told when she kind of questions the angel and saying, I'm what? How? Time out, angel. This doesn't really make sense to me. This isn't how it's supposed to work, I don't think. I'm pregnant? The angel says, even your cousin, Elizabeth, in her old age, who's been barren, couldn't have children, she's pregnant. So Mary books it over across the hillside, across the countryside to her cousin Elizabeth's place. She entered Zechariah's home, greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. The child, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and with a loud voice, she blurted out, I like that translation. It wasn't rehearsed, it wasn't nice and calm. Oh, this is so lovely. God has blessed you above. No, she blurted it out with excitement. God has blessed you above all women. He's blessed the child you carry. Why do I have the honor that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She knew she was in the presence of God. She was undeserving. And in verse 45, Elizabeth closes out this by saying, in our Common English Bible, happy is she who believed that the Lord will fulfill the promise he made to her. Now, this is one of those spots where I don't agree with the translation choice of the Common English Bible team. Within our current social structure, it feels, reading it from this translation, that it's more of an emotional high for an individual in response to some intellectual affirmation. Happy is the one who believed in, as if you're looking down your nose and, oh, happy are you. No, I'd translate it more, blessed is she who trusted. There's a significant difference, I think, in that. Blessed is she who trusted that there would be a fulfillment of those things spoken to her by the Lord. So what difference does that make for us in our everyday world? I believe it changes the way that we see things. It helps us to be more like Elizabeth, recognizing God's promises, trusting God's promises. First, I want to briefly explain the difference between happy and blessed, and then quickly look at believed versus trusted, and what those differences is. Again, grasping these two points have significantly changed how I live each and every day of my life, and it brings a much deeper connection to celebrating the birth of Jesus, God incarnate. So happy versus blessed. There are very few translations in this verse that use the word happy. Most use blessed. The word blessed is also used not only here in verse 45, but also in verse 42. But these two words translated as blessed are actually two different words in the original Greek. Verse 42, it's eulogia, which means to speak well of, to bless someone. But in verse 45, the Greek word translated as blessed is makarios. Now, depending on the context, it can be translated as happy or blessed or fortunate. It has the meaning of, in a sense, being envied in a positive way. I want to be like that. They are makarios, blessed. This meaning comes from the root word meaning something is long, elongated, extended. And specifically in the biblical text, it's about when God extends God's benefits. The focus is not on the person receiving, that they are blessed, but it's the advantages that God confers on them that cause them to be blessed. Now, throughout the New Testament, Makarios is used to describe a state of spiritual well-being, prosperity, spiritual prosperity. It implies a deep, abiding joy and contentment that comes from a right relationship with God. This term is often used to describe those who are favored by God, who would experience God's grace and favor in their own lives. They are blessed in spite of what's happening around them. It's the same word that Jesus uses in the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when, lists all these negative things, or you will be blessed. It's used to describe the blessedness of those who live in accordance with God's will. Not only living in accordance with God's will, but it's living in a countercultural way. Countercultural understanding of happiness. Happiness is based on our happenings, what's going on around us. It's one that it isn't dependent on these happenings, these external circumstances, but on the overall spiritual condition of our hearts and our lives, having a faithful, trusting relationship with God. That brings us to the fuller meaning of the word translated as belief, either belief, believed, or trusted. The original Greek is pistuo, which can be translated as believe, have faith to trust. To trust with bold confidence is good understanding. Now, it's more than just a neck-up trust and belief. Strong's Concordance gives the following explanation that helps us understand it. You write, in the Greco-Roman world, belief was often associated with trust in small g gods or in the philosophical truths. However, the New Testament writers redefined pistuo, faith, within the context of a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This form of belief is not merely intellectual assent, but involves a deep personal trust and bold commitment. This belief was not just about accepting doctrines, but it involved a transformative trust that led to a new way of living. That the trust, the belief that we need to have. It's this transformative trust, the deep abiding joy that's produced when we cultivate a relationship with God through Jesus that allows us to view the everyday, ordinary moments of life from God's perspective. Respond and even react to those negative, why is this happening moments of life in a positive manner. Those moments when the presence of this world, those physical, tangible things get in the way of encountering the presence of God, we need to be able to have spiritual eyes to see beyond and to see through and to know in the midst of what's going wrong, God is about to do some great things. Now, this doesn't happen instantaneously. This transformative trust is not going to be delivered this afternoon or tomorrow. Even if you have Amazon Prime, it's not going to arrive by Christmas. It takes time. It takes practice. You have to remember, Elizabeth was elderly when all this took place. She had lived a long time wrestling with God about why she and her husband Zechariah couldn't have any children. Then she had had 6 months of being pregnant to prepare herself for this interaction. It was a lifetime of faithful relationship with God that culminated in her reaction. Blessed is she who trusted that there would be a fulfillment of those things spoken to her by the Lord. We have a choice. Why has this happened to me? Or why has this happened to me? Even when there's something negative, feels negative in our life. Why has this happened to me? In anticipation, trusting that God is going to use it for good. Suo Makarios. Trusting in the blessings of God. That's what makes all the difference. We need to wrestle with the questions of life. And we can't do it isolated by ourselves. We need to do it together, a community of believers, in order to have this new life transformed from within us. Whenever you find yourself responding negatively, why has this happened to me? Think of Elizabeth. Pause. Ask Jesus to help you to trust him. Trust that he's going to use whatever the situation is for good. Not necessarily just for your own good, but for the greater good. To trust that the situation is going to be a blessing not only for you, but for others around you. Invite other Christians to wrestle with the question with you, to share your frustration, to embark in a process of lament, to say, God, why? This doesn't make sense, and yet, help me to trust you. Help me to believe so that I can be blessed to be a blessing for others. This is the present of love that was given to us at the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. May you receive this gift of love today, so we may all learn to respond to the moments of uncertainty that will undoubtedly come with those words of Mary. With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. May that be the prayer of our hearts. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.